Hello, everybody. Welcome back to a new episode of the Sensory Podcast. And today I'm going to talk and update you about our quality control process. As usual in this podcast, I always talk about sensory and how to become a better taster. But what's the point of knowing how to brew, how to roast, how to sense if this quality that we maybe master once is not consistent? That's why consistency is sort of the new quality, especially in coffee. And that's because of several reasons. The first reason is that, well, coffee, green coffee, is not consistent. As coffee professionals, when we make a purchasing decision, we are based upon the sort of SCA cupping protocol and a pre-sample, pre-shipping sample, sorry. Meaning that it's a sample that the farmer, the importer, send us before shipping it. And that coffee is often very good, excellent, depending on the region. However, once you put those the beans and the bags into a container and travel through the seas, the quality slightly changes. Not drastically. I would say that 90 to 95% it is the same, but it's not exactly the same as when you receive that little sample. And that also depends on the geographic location, right? A coffee here, so we are in the United States, and if we purchase a coffee from Guatemala, Costa Rica, Colombia, it's a much closer route than Africa, where it takes 7 months to travel through the sea. As a result, the quality that we tasted when we receive a sample is usually not the same when we receive the bag. Doesn't mean that it's catastrophic. As I said, it's really 95% is the same, but the intensity of the flavors is slightly reduced, not drastically, but just a little bit. So that's one thing, right? That's purchasing decision. The second is the green coffee. The second is how green coffee evolve when it's at your roastery or your locations. And that depends mostly on the moisture, on the temperature, on the storage condition, if it smells bad or and so on, and on something called water activity. Water activity, just to put it simple, is how mobile the moisture in the green coffee is. The higher the water activity, the more kind of changing the coffee can be. And the lower it is, the more stale, the quicker it will become stale. So there's a perfect window of, I think it's a 0 to 1 scale, and I'm guessing, I think it's between 0.5 and 0.6 where you want that kind of comfortable window for consistency. And that's usually a data provided by either importers or big scale roasters because it's a quite expensive equipment. But besides that, let's go back now to the quality control. So that was about kind of explaining you why consistency matters because green coffee changes. Now, when we quality control for production, it is different than quality controlling or cupping for profiling or sourcing. Cupping, first and foremost, is a protocol designed to taste coffee in a simple way by putting ground coffee in a cup. In a 1 to 17 ratio, 1 to 17 ratio, if I believe, or 8.25 grams per 100 grams. Basically, it's 12 grams, sorry, per 150 grams. So it's basically 12 grams in a 200 grams bowl. So usually those cupping bowls comes quite standard, and we ground 12 grams of coffee and fill it with water, which leads to 200 grams. So it's about 60 grams per liter, sort of a classic golden ratio of 55 to 60 grams per liter. And on the Specialty Coffee Association form, we are scoring the dry smell, the wet smell, which is when we break across when it's brewed, the flavor, the aftertaste, the body, the acidity, the uniformity, the clean cup, the sweetness, and an overall score minus any defect it can have. And that score, you see it a little bit everywhere. And we have really several episodes on also different attributes. So if you wonder what exactly is the acidity or the body or the aftertaste, check out our previous podcast on those different attributes. But what is the purpose of the SCA cupping form? It's just to assess if a coffee is specialty above 80 points or commodity below 80 points. And that's it. The whole purpose of that form is just to assess the quality and give it a score. It is not to provide a consistency tool for production roasters. And I remember when I started into coffee and get into roasteries and talk with a lot of professionals, we used to use that Specialty Coffee Association cupping form as a production form. That was back maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago. And it's after a seminar in the Roaster Guild that I realized that it's actually other forms people are using to provide consistency in their roast. And I tweaked that cupping form in order to match the best, what I believe is the most important attributes in coffee and in consistency. So the form I've created is basically 10 different attributes organized in a 3-point scale each. If you remember, the Specialty Coffee Association is a 100-point scale, and each little attribute is a 6 to 10 points, maxing 100 points for the best coffee in the world. Although I think the best one, the maximum was 98. And if it's below 80, it's commodity, above it's specialty, et cetera, et cetera. In my form, I have created a 3-point scale. So 1 point is unacceptable, is when an attribute, let's say aroma, is really not as the same as the reference. So this cupping form is also based on the reference roast that has been designed, created, and decided during profiling. Profiling is when we receive a coffee, we basically test batch, do trial and error, and agree on a flavor profile and a roast profile. That's kind of the reference. And the production cupping form that I'm going to explain right now is based on that, right? So if it's a 1 point, it's unacceptable. 2 point, it's okay. And 3 point is perfectly matching the reference roast. And so we have a 30 points in total. And we allow only a 5% tolerance, meaning that if a coffee scored in total 28 points, which is 2 times 2s and 8 threes, we accept that coffee as kind of valid. If it's more than that or below that, we reject the coffee and we will use it for training, also give it to charities, and we're consuming ourselves, but we won't sell it. That's the whole purpose. And besides that, we also do color control with a slightly tighter tolerance on that, on plus minus 3%. So if a coffee color is a 74, we accept somewhere between 72 and 76, provided that the taste is the same. So the most important for us is always the taste, then is the color. But because color is a driver of flavor, we obviously control the color, and it already gives us insight on the taste and the flavor profile. So about those attributes, what I assess first is the aroma, the dry fragrance. And that's basically the smell of the ground coffee. Then is the aroma when it's brewed or steeped. So the cupping form, in the cupping protocol, we are steeping our ground coffee for 4 minutes, and then we break the crust, and then we wash, we clean any foam. People usually give a score as they break this crust. I do not. When I break the crust, I take notes, but I give my final score after usually 6, 4, and 8 minutes. So we break the crust at 4 minutes, and I let it for another 2 minutes, and again another 2 minutes to give an average score from 1 to 3 on that scale for the aroma. Then I assess the flavor. So checking if the flavor is is matching the reference. The acidity, the brightness and the quality of acidity. Then usually I take a break, depends on how many cups I have to taste. And I go back to the first one and I taste for body or texture, right? And before aftertaste, actually, I'm tasting for sweetness and bitterness. And that's what is not in the cupping, the SCA cupping form. You see in the SCA cupping form, you have a sweetness box to tick. I prefer to score the sweetness in terms of intensity and the bitterness, because sweetness and bitterness are huge drivers of preferences in coffee and also customer liking, right? We all want something not as bitter or maybe bitter and as sweet as possible. So I am scoring those two elements. Then I score the aftertaste, mostly on that dry perception or lingering effects on it. The sort of freshness, the clean cup or the dirtiness of the coffee. So that's basically telling me if the coffee is slightly aging or has some maybe fermenting defect or anything like that. And I give a balance score, the balance of all those elements if it's still matching. And usually if you have, let's say, the body is a 2 and the aftertaste is a 2. So the body is kind of okay and aftertaste, it's kind of okay. Usually the balance won't be okay. And that basically reject the coffee. And I taste it again, only flavor and acidity when it's cooled down. And basically the flavor score is based on 3, right? But it's an average of the hot flavor and cold flavor. So if hot it was 3 and let's say cold is 2, it's a 2.5, and same for acidity. The other things like the body aftertaste won't really change as it cools down, but flavor and acidity, from what I've observed and tasted, it's the ones that change the most. And that allowed me to really provide a consistent product week after week. So based on that, then it's also important to give a little caveat on the order and the, I would say, environment in which you are cupping. For that, it's very important to be very, very consistent. It needs to be the same grind size, of course, the same water quality, the water temperature, the same environments. So quality control 2 days after the roast and sometimes 4 days depending on the coffees every single week and all the time at the same time, usually 9:30 or 10 a.m. And that's really, really important because your palate will be different or your perception are slightly different in the afternoons. So it's important when you're quality controlling to do it at the exact same time. The other thing about bias is that, well, I am a one-man shop, so I'm controlling the coffee and I know the coffee. In an ideal scenario, it's better to use at least 3 cuppers. 3 to 6 cuppers is the best to have a really consistent result. To sort of compensate for that, I am basically cupping all the coffees in different orders and I am scoring all the coffees, giving them a random name. So even though I know that I'm having my Ethiopian here, my Guatemalan here, the name I give is not Haloberiti or Chejoj or El Vergel. It is like a random name with letters and a number so that I really put myself in a blind tasting condition. But ideally, hopefully in the future when I recruit people, we'll be able to do more kind of 3 to 6 people cupping and have a more consistent calibration palette. But it's possible to do it even when you're alone by just multiplying the cups you're tasting, basically. It's all about the variance and the statistics on the error, margin error. Okay, that's basically about it regarding our quality control. After that, we also do brewing control just to ensure that whatever we tasted and we agreed on, it's standing and it's holding its flavor and its characteristics when you brew it with drip or espresso. So we do that a week after, slightly after. But one of the most very important is that consistent practice, consistent environment. Let's say if instead of roasting on Monday, for some reason I roast on Tuesday, I will not cup on Wednesday, which is usually my cupping day. I will do it on Thursday, regardless. And that's really, really important to maintain that for consistency. I hope you've learned something. If you have any questions about our cupping protocol or want to know more about it, feel free to reach out. See you next time for another episode of the Sensory Podcast.